Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled to introduce you today to John Browning. John is a highly coveted financial advisor with an extensive career that spans multiple decades. Throughout his career, he has managed billions of dollars for top U.S. firms. He leverages his unique expertise to help people create a financial future without sacrificing their entire life to meet that goal. And he also has a wonderful new bestseller, Build a Life, Not a Portfolio. John, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
No, thanks for having me.
So, John, tell us a little bit, for those that have not had the pleasure of meeting you, how you came about becoming such an expert in the area of finance and financial planning.
Well, I started really right out of college, and, you know, like any college kid, I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do, but I thought I was pretty smart because I just went through all this, you know, 4 years of college and thought I knew everything. And it wasn't too long after starting at one of the major Wall Street firms, Morgan Stanley, that I figured out real quick how little I knew. Really where I got started was in customer service. And of course, you know, as a young kid coming out of college, you think you should be running a company here right away. But it was a humbling experience and one that I still utilize today, because what I learned in that first job that I had it for about a year, year and a half, is the importance of why people invest their money, and that it's not all about the numbers. It's really about their life, which is what the book is really about.
That is so beautiful, because so many people, I think, focus on financial planning as not so much their happiness and the ingredients to make that happen, but really their goals financially. So it's wonderful that you've married the two. And since you've mentioned your book, Build a Life, Not a Portfolio, tell us a little bit about how your experience translated into a book so that great wisdom could be exposed to people all over the world.
Sure. That's really my entire career sort of focused on. It started, like I said, in customer service and learning the emotions and the role that emotions play. And so many advisors today really focus only on the numbers, focus only on building a portfolio. And that tends to be what we're told in the mainstream media. But what I've learned over the years, I've learned how to manage portfolios, how to design them to accomplish just about any goal that you might have, you know, as long as it's realistic for you. I've learned how to do that, and that becomes second nature because I've done it for the past 3 decades, and I did it with really, really large portfolios on Wall Street in the billions of dollars. And there's several myths out there that you can't apply those same secrets and strategies and tactics to smaller individual portfolios. You don't have to have a multi-million dollar portfolio to apply those same strategies and techniques. You can do it with a much smaller portfolio, given the capabilities that we have today in the marketplace, where you have the availability of free trades and the expertise of tax lawyers and CPAs and all of that. I think the most important thing is to build your foundation. Your foundation is what you really want out of life. And then putting together the pieces, for my expertise of managing money over the past 3 decades, becomes the easy part. So if you've ever seen a house put together and built from the ground up, you see it takes a long time to dig the footers and put the foundation in. And really, that's the part that I call building your life. What do you want your life to look like? And not just what, but why you want it to look that way in the future. And then building the portfolio on top of that becomes really the faster and, frankly, easier part for most people. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. It really does. So for a person just looking into financial planning, maybe it's a little new to them, do you have some tips, number one, on finding a good financial planner? Like, what are some of the red flags and some of the green flags you should be looking for someone you want to work with?
Sure, there really are. I think, number one, looking for someone with not just experience, but the right kind of experience. If you find an individual who has just done one thing over their career, it's kind of like they have the experience of one day or one year every year of their life. But you want to look for somebody who's had deep experience actually managing money and actually dealing with individuals for many, many years. And they've seen the markets where the market's going up. They've seen the markets when it's going down. And they can explain to you in a way that you understand what's going on, not only in the market, but also with your portfolio. And they can repeat back to you what you have communicated to them as what's important to you. And a big red flag is if they're just talking about the markets or about your portfolio, that's a big red flag if they're not talking about your personal goals and where you want to go in life. And if they don't ask you the question why you want to go there, I think that's a big red flag as well. And probably the biggest red flag that I see so often, and it generally happens with the, frankly, larger firms, we're an independent firm. We're not beholden to anyone except for our clients. So we don't sell proprietary products because we don't have them. And generally, we don't sell financial products at all because I used to make those products and I know that there's a lot of unnecessary expense in there. So I tend to use my expertise to cut out the middleman. But I think when you find somebody and they say, well, you're a number four in the risk category or you're a number one, and they try and put you into a box, well, I see that as a big red flag because we're all unique. And one of the chapters in the book is called the snowflake theory. And it's exactly that. No two snowflakes are the same. No two people are the same. You need to have a portfolio that's very specifically designed for you and what you want. So those are some of the red flags and the green flags. The good things you want to look for are really the exact opposite. Somebody with long experience. Somebody who's asking you about you and listening. You know, they're not talking over you. They're not completing your sentences. And they're maybe repeating back what they think they heard to verify that that's really the case. That's just a few things.
Oh, that's wonderful. Really powerful information. So how can someone on their own kind of prepare for their financial future? If we were looking at them even preparing to come together with a financial advisor, what would you advise are the best first steps for someone who's just starting out?
Well, if you're just starting out and you're looking for a financial advisor and you're really just thinking through things for the first time, I think you want to ask that same question. What do I really want to get? You know, is it just, I want to have $1 million by the time I'm 40 years old or whatever it might be. If that's really it, you know, spend some time thinking about why that is. What are you going to use it for? And your financial advisor should be able to help you figure out and do the calculations as to what that really means, how much risk you would have to take, how much money you would have to put aside in order to make that goal, and whether or not it's realistic. But spend some time at the beginning and before you go to see that financial advisor doing that, and also just gathering up the things that you would think of, right? So really looking at what are your assets, what are your liabilities. So your assets would be your checking account, your home, your cars, things that if you had to, you could sell tomorrow for something, right? Cars are a depreciating asset. You could sell them for something. Have that ready and organized, and then be real honest with yourself and tracking where the money goes. That's one of the things that I talk about is knowing where your money is going and communicating that to the financial advisor can really help them and help jumpstart the process of giving you advice. And then, of course, your liabilities or your debt. And we hear so many times from some of the gurus, all debt is bad, get out of all debt. It's not necessarily, in my opinion, the case. There are some debt that makes sense. If you've got debt to get into an appreciating asset like real estate or something like that, that might not be a bad idea, especially with interest rates as low as they are now. So knowing what those things are before you go see your financial advisor really helps jumpstart that process and get you going quicker where you want to go.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Absolutely. So when you're helping people through this, what are just a few of the most prevalent mistakes that people make?
Well, I talk a lot in the book about the importance of building your life and not just a portfolio. That's the title of the book. And there's two sides to that coin. Number one, you can get too emotional with your investing, which is what you'll see in the mainstream media. They'll say, oh, take the emotions out of the investing process. But if you completely eliminate something as important as emotions, then you miss such a large portion of what's important in investing. And you eliminate the fact that there are over 7 billion people in the world and the global economy that are all, whether we like to admit it or say it or not, we all make emotional decisions. I give an example in the book of when I went to buy my first Harley motorcycle. I'm a motorcycle guy and I enjoy that. I had narrowed it down to two, and one was a black one, one was a red one, and had the chrome and all that. And the salesperson knew which one I was going to choose. The black one was probably the better value, the better deal. But I kept going back to the red one with all the chrome, and guess which one I bought? I bought the one that I emotionally wanted, right? Because that brought me, for me, it's my thing, it brought me joy. And understanding that is so important, and it's a common mistake to make. At least acknowledging that and the role that emotions play, and again, not going overboard on either side of that issue. And knowing yourself is another very good tip and something that everybody should understand, and they should understand how emotional they are and how they make decisions and why they make decisions. Socrates' quote was, "To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom." So that's another thing to make sure that you're doing. And, you know, I talked about it earlier, the idea of knowing exactly where the money goes. It's amazing how few people actually track, look at maybe their credit card statements or their debit card statements and see, you know, what am I spending the money on? And does that really matter to me? Why in the world am I spending money here or there? And so many people don't even track where that goes, and you can uncover a lot of things that don't bring you joy or bring you satisfaction in your life that you're spending money on. And sometimes you can uncover some great places where you can find money to invest. This is probably the most prevalent mistake that I see is there's TV shows and magazines and newspapers that are all telling you this is the top 10 stocks for next year, or this stock is going to double within the next 6 months. And all these people telling you, well, that doesn't really matter to you and to your portfolio. You need to build a diversified portfolio that's aimed at accomplishing your goals that you've set up for a reason, because they are things that matter to you. If you just follow the things that are going on TV and or clickbait is what I call them, they're easily clicked on because, wow, I want to double my money in 6 months. Now, that's generally speaking not realistic, and it just gets you to click and follow down rabbit trails and spend a lot of time. And you feel like, well, everybody else is doing it, so I should too. You know, the other big mistake is everybody's investing in, and I'll put it in air quotes that nobody can see here, everybody's investing in the index. And that may not be right for you. It might be, but it really might not be, because you're almost guaranteeing yourself, well, you are guaranteeing yourself average, right? And I don't know anybody that gets out of bed in the morning and says, oh, great, I want to be average today, right? You're guaranteeing yourself when you invest in the index, which is what so much of the common press will tell you to do. You're guaranteeing that you're going to buy a lot of bad businesses in your portfolio. You will also buy the good ones, but at the end of the day, you've just come out to average. And that may not be what you need to accomplish your goals. You might actually need below average so that your risk, your volatility is lower, because it bothers you and steals your joy because you watch your portfolio and you can't handle these big swings to the downside. So maybe you actually want to make a little bit less than average. It all depends on the person. Those are just a few things.
So, John, if you were to look at all the work you've done, all the tremendous wisdom you've shared, and especially your book, your new bestseller, and you were to look at that almost like you would like to see the impact it had on the world, almost like a legacy, what would that look like for you?
If I could impact even one life, but if I can impact several lives in a positive way, if I can change their direction and their course so that they accomplish what they want later in life, accomplish their goals that take financial planning to accomplish, then, you know, that's satisfaction for me. I've already seen that happen in my career. I've seen folks change their course and accomplish whatever their goal is, whether it's to send a child to college or it might be to buy that big boat or take that big vacation or simply, in many cases, retire and replace their paycheck with something that they have provided for themselves through consistent financial planning.
Ah, that is so lovely. So I know that others listening would really love to be able to tap again into your knowledge and wisdom about finance. If they were looking to connect with you or learn more about what you offer, could you give us maybe a website where they could go?
Sure. Our website is www.guardianrockwealth.com. And there's a contact us section, and there's lots and lots of great information there as well. And if they just want to give us a phone call, it's 312-372-5000. Super easy to remember. And we always pick up that phone, and we'd love to chat with you.
Oh, thank you so much, John, for joining us today. The generosity of your time and making yourself so available to those that really are in need of good financial advice. And also, of course, the great information on your website. So we really appreciate you being here. It's just been a pleasure. Thanks so much, John.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate your time as well.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, a global broadcast and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's MYBOOK MYBIZ.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.